Today on Seculo, Hillary Clinton claims that the GOP has a plot to, quote, literally steal the 2024 presidential election. We'll talk about it today on Seculo.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
Hey, welcome to Seculo. We are taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110, talking a lot of politics today. We're going to go through some races: Georgia, Pennsylvania, Arizona, New Hampshire, North Carolina, Wisconsin, Ohio, and the list goes on. If you're in those states, we want to hear from you about what you're seeing on the ground, the early voting, the support. There's been a tremendous shift towards the GOP in the last couple of weeks. So we want to know if you're seeing that on the ground and in your communities, maybe even amongst friends that aren't as political, who are deciding, you know what, I'm going to go vote, I'm going to go vote Republican this time around. So 1-800-684-3110 to be with us on the broadcast. It does appear when you start getting statements like you do from Hillary Clinton, and we have the audio, when you start hearing statements like this, it's flailing. The Democrats are flailing at anything to somehow get people scared of Republicans. Now, it's not even about Donald Trump. It's about Republicans in general, and to somehow, you know, scare them into voting Democrat. Doesn't usually work very well in politics. You have to actually like the person you're voting for and support the person you're voting for and the party and ideas. Take a listen, though. She's already past 2022.
I'm here to highlight something that is keeping me up at night. And I know this group really understands what I'm about to say. I know we're all focused on the 2022 midterm elections, and they are incredibly important. But we also have to look ahead, because you know what? Our opponents certainly are. Right-wing extremists already have a plan to literally steal the next presidential election.
So they are already setting up. I mean, this is the irony. They're already setting up the analysis of if they don't win in 2024, and it's also a prelude to they know what's coming in about, you know, 2 weeks, that it means the election was stolen. You know, I thought about this the other day, because in Georgia you got a very close race for Senate with Herschel Walker, although it looks like Governor Kemp is going to win pretty handily against Stacey Abrams. She is still denying the elections in 2018 when she ran for governor.
Yes.
She says it was stolen. So it's like, are they going to set up a special committee of the House and Senate to evaluate that? Because it's the same. They're making these same arguments, but now they're already building the case for election. This, by the way, this is a real confidence builder when it comes to integrity of elections, when you got the former Democratic nominee for president saying these kind of things.
Yeah, I mean, I guess where Bill Clinton is no longer keeping her up at night at this age. So the idea that it's Republicans and their plans for 2024, you know, this idea, again, when they start pushing out Hillary Clinton and start saying, you know what, if those Republicans win in this election cycle, they're going to steal the next election cycle. I thought this was a language we weren't allowed to use. I thought we weren't supposed to talk about stolen elections, but it's okay for the left. If they lose, they're already setting it up. If we lose, it was stolen from us this time. These are election deniers, even though they're running election deniers, and they're going to then really steal it in 2024. You know what? I say, if this is the message they want to put out, though, great, because you know what this message does? Make people not show up to vote.
Yeah, you know, but it's interesting.
We got burned by that. The Republicans got burned by that last election cycle by playing all these games saying, you know, we can't win with the COVID rules and with all these ballots out, and a lot of people didn't show up to vote.
President Trump didn't help on that one.
No,
right. He was pushing all that.
If Hillary Clinton is following that model, go right ahead. Tell people basically it's not worth voting Democrat. That's okay with me.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. We're going to go through some of these.
It's not worth voting Democrat.
We're gonna go through these individual races. They're very close, by the way. A lot of these are really almost statistically tied. We're going to go through all that. We also want you to support the work of the ACLJ at aclj.org. How is it looking in your community, especially you in the key states here? 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. You're going to vote, right? That's a question I'm asking you. You're going to vote, right? 1-800-684-3110. Because some of you are still saying, oh, it's the system's rigged against us. Exactly what Jordan said. You're an American. You vote. 800-684-3110. Back with more in a moment.
Welcome back to Secio. So we're going to start walking through these as we get your calls set to go, because it's really across the country. I mean, we're talking about from the southeast to the north, Pacific Northwest did play gubernatorial races. But really, what we want to focus on this segment is the Senate. It looks like the House is, again, there's so many House races to go through, you couldn't go through it in 1 hour broadcast. But what we do see is that the trend towards the House is looking very good for Republicans. The big question is almost how many seats are they in the majority by? So you switch, you go, you know, again, you don't take anything for granted yet, but you could focus on these key Senate races that are really going to determine the full balance of power in the U.S. Congress.
Yeah, it's interesting because they're talking about in the House, it could be plus 30. I mean, that means Republicans will have a 30-seat majority if the statistics hold. It could even be higher, actually. I mean, some are saying plus 40. So, but like Jordan said, things change in an hour. I mean, so no one should take anything for granted. I do want to say something, though. There are some of you that are still saying, I'm not voting, it's fixed, it's rigged. This is not, A, it's not the case. So, B, there's a lot of election integrity has been in place. You got to vote. Your voice matters. You want to hear what's going on? Your voice matters. We're getting great calls coming in at 800-684-3110. Let's take Wayne's right away because we'll get into the Georgia discussion.
First one on my list. Let's go to Wayne in Georgia online too. Hey, Wayne.
Hey, how you doing, Jay?
Great.
I just wanted to know your intake or your insight on the Senate race between Warnock and Walker. Because I just moved to Georgia, and just kind of interesting talking to people in regard to Warnock, and I can't believe anyone would want to even vote for him.
Well, don't forget, he won statewide last time in a special election, and a lot of it was because people were saying, I'm not going to vote because this is fixed. And frankly, the former president didn't help on that. And you've got to vote. So don't take anything for granted on this. The polls are very, very – Jordan, you know Georgia politics very well. It's very close.
Herschel Walker's closed the polls. They've been close pretty much throughout the entire campaign, but he's closed the polls within a half margin, so it's turnout. Now, in the past, listen, Kemp is up 8-plus points on Stacey Abrams. This brings into question polling. Not if you should vote, by the way, but polling. Because how many people really are going to go into a voting booth and say, I'm voting for Kemp against Abrams, but I'm going to vote for Warnock, who has a very similar politics of Abrams.
Right.
So the polling, you have to wonder, is it just not really getting, again, a lot of the voters because the phone lines and things like that? But it shows you trends.
It's showing right now that it's basically statistically tied.
Here's what I think it is. Okay. Right now, if you just counted the early votes, Herschel Walker would lose. Because Democrats historically do much better early voting. Okay. So election day, Republicans need to be way ahead. So heavy Republican areas, that's all you can really figure out on election day. You look at like places in Georgia that are heavily Republican, especially surrounding the major metro areas, and you say, are they turning out big? That's all you can know. And if they're turning out big, that's how you then meet the early vote from Democrats. By the way, all early votes are not Democrats, so it's not like everyone early voting is a Democrat vote. It's just usually they win it. So if let's say they win it by 5 or 6%, you know you need on election day big turnout from Republican districts. I think because you have two big races there, Kemp and Walker.
Yeah.
The Republican turnout should be good. The Democrat turnout is going to be as high as possible. Stacey Abrams has a machine there. So it is a turnout race at this point. I don't think all the October surprise stuff is going to matter. They both have things in their past, Warnock and Walker. And it's why I think that Warnock didn't really even try to go after Walker like that way. They're so politically different. Like, one is a far left liberal, one is very conservative. And so how they're going to vote in the U.S. Senate is clear to the voter. I think it's good. That one is a turnout. Most people predicting that no one's going to get to 50 plus one, which you have to do in Georgia.
Yeah,
so there'll be a runoff the following month, December 6th. That's the prediction right now.
So Will just sent me the latest poll and the largest sample size of recent polls has Walker up to. The biggest question will be, can anyone get to the 50%? I think that's really the key.
Absolutely the key in Georgia. We can go back to the phones, 1-800-684-3110. We'll walk through Georgia. We'll go to Roger in Minnesota on line one. Hey, Roger. Hey, you're on the air.
Yes.
Hi, how are you?
Yes, I was just listening to your program, and as a lifelong Democrat, there is just no way I can vote Democrat anymore. You know, there is nothing that they have to offer. You know, I listen to the abortion issue, and it's so bizarre. They want you to, it sounds like, go get pregnant and then get an abortion. You know, it's like, oh, we're going to become a mega Democrat?
Well, yeah, but this is because, and I appreciate you calling in, Roger, because they've decided that they are running on the abortion issue. Because they certainly can't run on the economy, and they don't want to run on international affairs, so run on the abortion issue. The question you have to ask yourself is, does that carry the day for them? And I think the answer is, we're going to find out in two weeks, but I don't think so.
I don't think so either. The economy is just, it's too much. People are hurting too much to think that like that's going to be the number one issue. And that includes a lot of like you're hearing from Democrats, like our friend Tulsi Gabbard, who left, said this: there's no place for me anymore in this party. What they're pushing is too extreme. It's just too extreme. So I'm, you know, again, what's the other alternative if you want to be participating in the election is voting Republican in most cases. And so, if there's more people like that out there.
But Georgia requires polling, 50%.
It's unique in Georgia. Yes, unique in Georgia. We got a call from Pennsylvania next. That was the next one I was going to hit. David in Pennsylvania on line 6. Hey, David.
Hey, how are you guys doing?
Great.
Hey, I'm just curious. What is your opinion, Fetterman and Oz? Because I hear a lot of mudslinging between both parties, but I don't hear anyone talking about what they're going to do for the state. And we're in the customer service-driven era where they should be focusing on not just simply satisfying and pleasing.
Yeah, so listen. Go ahead.
No, go first.
Okay, so David, the thing you have to realize in Pennsylvania is kind of like three states in one. There's a lot of different regional issues there. The races show, other than CNN as an outlier poll, which has Fetterman up by 6, it is either even or plus 2 to Oz. It's very, very close. The question is, you have to ask yourself, is Lieutenant Governor Fetterman has won statewide, so that's a factor. He has suffered a significant disability. That may be a factor for some, but I'll tell you something else that's a factor here, and that is he is a Bernie Sanders independent socialist, basically.
Yeah, he's really not even a mainstream Democrat.
No, he's not a mainstream Democrat. He is a socialist, and in his, at least his views, he certainly lines up with Bernie Sanders.
Yeah, when he goes to the Senate, he's going to be voting hard left.
Very hard.
So I'm not sure. Oh, wait, Dave, that's hard interesting left. You're saying I don't feel like... You're talking more about maybe constituent services. I will tell you a lot about Fetterman is that he didn't show up at things. They say he never showed up at city council meetings, didn't show up at his meetings as lieutenant governor. He instead, because he was not really part of the mainstream, spent his time as an activist instead of governing. And I think, listen, in Pennsylvania, this is going to be a close race.
Very.
It doesn't matter who the candidates
Big
are.
Big debate tonight.
I mean, you can put any names in place there, Democrat, Republican, close.
But that's and a seat that Republicans have Republicans. To hold.
That's right. It's just to remind people, that was Senator Toomey's seat, and he was able to hold it. But, you know, this is again, turnout. I think Fetterman, again, I don't know how much these debates, how important they are, but certainly with his... With what he suffered with the stroke, there's more eyes on it than ever before to see is he even able to be a senator.
Yeah, let's take Chris's call out of Nevada on line one. Another close race. Go ahead, Chris.
Hi. How do we even know the polls aren't being fudged with or messed around with?
You know, I think because if you thought Democrats were, why would they be all fudging it to say that they're losing in most of these key races?
So, yeah, because listen, in Nevada, for instance, Laxalt's up by 2.
Every poll is not right, and sometimes they don't get turnout correct. But what they do give you is trends of how close. All of these are close, which means if people don't show up from one party, the other party is going to win handedly. So it is a turnout election. And you listen, what you hope is that, yeah, the polls were wrong. The Republican won by 10 points. I hope that in every one of these races. Now, we look at Nevada. We go to the Laxalt race. He's up on an incumbent. I think we have to talk about that, too. We didn't talk about as much with Georgia and Pennsylvania. There's not an incumbent. But when you look at Nevada, taking down an incumbent is hard. Always. There's a real shot for conservatives here with Laxalt. The polling direction, he's built a campaign, he built a name, people started learning about him, and I think Cortez Masto The prediction is, as of right now, if the election were held today, she's gone. Republican, that's a Republican pickup. That's a huge pickup out west. You know, we were talking about before, should we go live that night? But you know, we're the eastern side of the country. I think that, you know, for those of us really watching this, the races that will likely determine, you got to hold Pennsylvania. You got to hold Ohio. But then, and Wisconsin. But then you move, and of course, you want to see what happens in Georgia. But you've got these two, Arizona and Nevada, that is going to be very early morning hours or the next day.
Very close.
For those of us on the eastern side of the country.
Look, I think these elections, most of these states
but
are
trending towards Republicans. That's
trending towards Republicans, but I think you're talking about a plus one, plus two. Some of these could, yeah, Georgia
these are,
could
none
go
of
to
these are more than that.
Yeah, so it's going to be very, very close, which means, folks, you got to vote. And don't buy into this. The votes don't count. It's not done right. You have to vote. It's critical. We'll be back with more in just a moment.
All right, welcome back to Secular. I want to take a call coming in on the election issue. And by the way, we're going to talk about life, which is a major election issue.
Yep.
This time around, maybe more so than ever, that abortion is on the ballot in many states. And for instance, I just want to let people know, we're co-sponsoring an event with Turning Point USA in Michigan this week. And so I can't be there on Friday, so I'm doing a video for that group. It's at a church in Michigan. I'll share more information later in the week. So if you're in the area, you can of course attend because of a ballot initiative there that's no good. And so we're fighting back against that through ACLJ action. But just to let people know how the ACLJ is working throughout the country on this, so let me go to Jackie in Illinois on line three. Hey, Jackie.
Love your show.
Thanks.
Quick question. I have a daughter that moved to Indiana, got married.
Okay.
I still get stuff for her in the mail for voting in her maiden name. I'm wondering, is there a way to find out if she's voting in Illinois? I mean, she votes in Indiana.
Well, yeah, but somebody is using it is what you're asking.
I'll ask you two questions. What you're getting a request for the ballot, or is it actual live ballots?
Request for the ballot right now, but during the presidential, I was getting live ballots.
Yeah, that was because of COVID. Most of the time around, this takes at least a decade to fix. It takes a new census. So it takes a while for that to start coming in. It depends on your state. Now, you can always call your Secretary of State. And she would need to do it, I think. So she would need to call Secretary of State's office and say, I have moved. Or the county that you live in, that even may be the easier, is you call the County Board of Elections and they will handle it. Most have online tracking now to let you know. But so
still
you've got
happens.
The number because you have the information.
Needs to do it, though.
But
do not it, her.
Yeah, not you. They're not going to give information about someone else's voting. So let your daughter do that. And that's not a bad thing to do. If you're getting a bunch of mail from another state that you lived in or a previous place, you can always check.
We're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Jordan mentioned a big issue in this ballot, in this election, is in fact the life issue. And there's also been an uptick, and an unfortunate one at that, of action against pro-life protesters to the point of the application of a criminal statute called the Free Access to Clinic Entrances Act. It was passed in the early 1990s, 1994. It was utilized for about 3 years pretty aggressively, and then you really haven't heard a lot about it until now. It's coming back in vogue because this Department of Justice has decided to implement it. Cece's got some very interesting statistics on what's going on here. And take that at the time when crisis pregnancy centers and pregnancy resource centers are under attack, literally physically, by groups like Jane's Revenge.
Yeah, so there have literally been 70 attacks against crisis pregnancy centers, firebombing, vandalism, aggressive physical attacks, and there has not been one case brought against any of those attackers. However, there have been 22 cases brought against nonviolent pro-life protesters under this FACE Act. So it's 22 versus zero under the Department of Justice going after pro-life protesters, and they will not go after any of the people that have firebombed or attacked crisis pregnancy centers.
You know, Jordan, I tie it right back into the political side of this because, and the DOJ is not supposed to be political, but give me a break, right? So you have silence on the Free Access to Clinic Answers Act basically for two decades. I mean, it was pretty quiet.
Right.
After it was initially passed. I challenged those initially, and it was, you know, on a constitutional basis, what was Congress's authority to pass basically a trespass statute?
Right.
Here's the interesting dynamic. Now they're using it, and they're using it when?
Now, it started about a year ago. Charges.
Exactly right.
So in the past, it was like, usually you would think, well, you'd be getting state and federal charges because this would be a serious enough crime to have a federal charge. Usually if it is, there's state charges that come with it. And in these matters, most of the time, the states, the localities looked at it and said, this is not even worth going after. Or people didn't show up for their court hearings. I mean, and then I think on top of this, not this, it's not just the prosecutions. You know, people that take it, we're clear on this with the protesters, that when you take a step like to block an entrance, you are violating law, you're going to be arrested.
Right.
The question is, why is the FBI showing up with 20 people to their door?
Well,
that's even the next level of probably the years of Clinton.
Correct.
I don't know that he was. Now, we didn't have the same kind of media then to monitor.
They charged people the under charges, face.
Yes, but where they but showed you didn't up have these.
You didn't
house.
Have mass FBI show ups with, you know, no knock raids
right,
or knock raids
out.
With guns out and 20 FBI SWAT
over
team members
trespassing charges.
Over what is effectively a trespass charge. But this is what is taking place right now. As the issue of abortion is once again at the forefront in a post-Dobbs world.
Right, and most of these cases happened not this year, and sometimes not even last year. They were several years ago.
And now they're bringing them.
Yes, again, like you pointed out, local authorities did not bring anything, and now face under the DOJ is weaponizing FBI to go, guns drawn, to arrest these, again, nonviolent protesters.
But, you know, they're doing this, and it's also an intimidation factor. So if you're pro-life, you know, there are people that get what I call in the dragnet of these Free Access to Clinic Entrance Act, somebody that didn't go inside the clinic that was involved in a technical breach of the act. The constitutional issue is, what is Congress's authority? And it was the Interstate Commerce Clause. But, you know, blocking a sidewalk from a sidewalk to the entrance of an abortion clinic or even inside the abortion clinic is not interstate commerce. That's intrastate commerce. That's intrastate. And we argued that in a couple of series of cases at the Supreme Court back in the 90s and early 2000s. But they resurrected this statute again. Why? Because they want abortion to be at the forefront. Why do they want that? Because they don't want to run on the economy. They don't want to run on international events because that's been a disaster. So instead, what do? They resurrect this statute to try to then say, we're taking this abortion issue seriously.
Yeah, and listen, it's all over the ballots, all over the country. I mean, so yeah. like I said, we can take a stand here, but so far those ballot issues have been very tough. I mean, just to be honest,
they are tough.
The one in Michigan is a vote no, so that's a little bit less uphill because people get in the ballot booth and a lot of times just vote no to all the ballot initiatives. They don't even look at what it says. So that trends that way. But, you know, Kentucky, we have another one that it's looking
the other way.
Again, it's going to be Rand Paul's going to be reelected and Republicans are going to do well in Kentucky. But on that ballot initiative, there needs to be more education. Now, you hope that in these final 2 weeks, the turnout may push it, and people hopefully take the time to read what they're voting on.
But this is where strategy becomes very important. We said in a post-Dobbs world, CeCe, that strategy was going to be the really key here. And the fact is, the strategy that the leftists and the pro-abortion groups, they knew exactly what they were going to do here. Confuse the issue with these constitutional amendments or these legislative initiatives that are voted on by the people.
Right. But the ACLJ, we have a strategy as well. And so we're ready to attack these. You know, when they're in court, we can attack them.
But I'm talking about during the political process here. We lost
process,
in Kansas because
yes.
No one understood exactly right. What the statute was.
Absolutely. Because when you have a ballot initiative, the language is written very confusingly. Just like Jordan was saying, you don't know whether a yes vote is really yes or a no vote is yes. And so you have to be very educated before you vote.
And we have worked on the language, the titling of these resolutions that are coming through. So we've worked with various attorney generals and legislators. But folks, we're fully engaged in this issue. But don't kid yourself. They are motivated by the abortion issue. We should be motivated by being pro-life. And take your calls at 800-684-3110. We want to know what's going on in your state as this election approaches. 1-800-684-3110. You've got big elections going on in most states here. We want to hear from you. Our phone lines, we've opened them wide open. 1-800-684-3110. Support the work of the ACLJ. You can do that at aclj.org. That's aclj.org. Let me also encourage you to follow us on Rumble, on Truth, on ACLJ. Also, of course, on Twitter, Facebook, YouTube. Like and share. Back with more in a moment.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
All right, welcome back to Seculo. We are taking your phone calls, 2-1-800-684-3110. Looking at close races, we talked about Georgia, Pennsylvania. We talked about Nevada, Arizona, another one. This would be a defeat of an incumbent Democrat, of Mark Kelly, by Blake Masters. And what you've seen there is Kelly Lake, who's a gubernatorial candidate there, has been on the rise. And I think, again, that's how Blake Masters...
Could she win that governor seat?
Absolutely.
Is it within striking distance right now?
Yeah. I make these kind of donations, as we see. I was making them to Mike Lee last week. Kelly Lake made that donation. Again, because you start seeing... This is when, again, there's sometimes in their state, they've used all the resources they can, and they need outside support. We're kind of past that in this country where people see, like, oh, these are national races, whether you're talking about gubernatorial or Senate races. So I think Arizona, very important as well.
Let's take Rhonda's call. She's calling from Florida, 1-800-684-3110. We want to talk to you about what's going on in your state. Rhonda, go ahead. You're on the air. Rhonda? We'll come back to Rhonda in a moment. So it's interesting. She's calling about the debate last night between DeSantis and Charlie Crist.
People are seeing clips from that. I mean, the biggest clip, obviously, do we have the clip on? It was the one DeSantis was obviously ready for. People were talking about a pause there because Charlie Crist wasn't out of time yet.
Yeah.
And I think DeSantis wanted to be able to deliver this very clearly without Charlie Crist talking over him, and he did take a listen.
I have a question for you. You're running for governor. Why don't you look in the eyes of the people of the state of Florida and say to them, if you're reelected, you will serve a full four-year term as governor. Yes or no? Yes or no, Ron? Will you serve a full four-year term if you're reelected governor of Florida? It's not a tough question. It's a fair question. He won't tell you.
We did not agree on the candidates asking each other questions. Governor, it's your turn.
Well, listen, I know that Charlie's interested in talking about 2024 and Joe Biden, but I just want to make things very, very clear. The only worn-out old donkey I'm looking to put out to pasture is Charlie Crist.
This is what happens when you get into tangle with a guy who's with Harvard. You think that they're not going to be quick enough to come back at you with it. And he's tough. I mean, he's also a military guy. So Charlie Crist, smooth, long-term politician. I think he's the kind of politicians that you're kind of like, this is just a Joe Biden in the making.
Yep.
Like, your whole life has been a politician, and you've been on both sides of the aisle. I mean, you know, and it's like, who are you? Why would the people trust you there? They like Ron DeSantis. He's up 10, I think, in the polls. And it's never good. Well, it's always good when your opponent starts saying, if you're reelected, like, that's almost a given.
Right. Can you promise the people you're going to run?
They're trying to set him up.
It's you're not going to fulfill your term because you're going to run for president in 2024. And he might. Look, he's not a major candidate. He's certainly a major candidate. He's probably one of the leading candidates.
Yeah, he's one of the top two.
Yeah, I would say.
Donald Trump and him.
Yeah, I would think.
In every poll, that's the top two right now. And that's just based off no one even campaigning for it. That's just what they see.
So Charlie Crist tries to ask that to deflect, but the fact is Florida's doing great. Florida's become a much more red state.
I think how quickly they rebuilt that causeway to Sanibel Island, where it was ready for people. I mean, there's a lot of work
that needs to be
done.
Yeah.
But it just showed you what you can do when you just cut through red tape and just get things done.
Yeah.
The people are there. They're tough there. They're going to rebuild there. And it's a huge state. It's just it's still growing.
Yep. We're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. We don't know what's going on in your state. We are less than two weeks away from the midterm election with the House and the Senate at stake. And while people are assuming right now that the Democrats are going to lose the House of Representatives and that the Republicans will get plus probably 20 seats or so, 25 seats, the Senate's too close to call. Meanwhile, nobody should take anything for granted, because things change in a nanosecond, and the early voting's been huge, which means you should early vote too if you can. 1-800-684-3110. Listen, there's nothing wrong with early voting. It's allowed constitutionally, and most people are doing it now. I mean, half the populace does it.
Yeah, listen, I like to say it's like every day once early voting starts in around the country is election day, because when you're talking to a friend or family member, you don't know if that's the day that they're going to go vote. I almost did this morning with the early voting place right next to where I dropped my son off for school, and I'll likely could do it tomorrow. I'm not worried about I live in Tennessee. I'm not worried about voter integrity at all or election integrity. I know my vote will be counted, and a lot of your friends and family are going to vote that way. I did want to tell you, I saw a lot of people in the chat say, like, and I put it out on Twitter, we'll do more. This event that we're sponsoring in Michigan on Friday, it's on the 27th at Grace Christian Church in Sterling Heights, Michigan. That's right in the Detroit suburbs. It's a night for life, and it's we're doing it alongside Turning Point USA. I'm going to do a video address for the crowd there, because that they have Proposition 3, which would enshrine that enshrines a right to to abortion in the state constitution. Yeah. Obviously, we've seen the candidate there, Tudor Dixon, start rising in the polls against Gretchen Whitmer. So you're having
some polls haven't
again.
Died.
That one requires the active yes vote to pass. So again, we're on the no vote there in Michigan. But I encourage people to check it out. You can check my Twitter to find out more. ACLJ Action, a sponsor, on the 27th of this week, 6:30 p.m., Grace Christian Church, Sterling Heights, Michigan.
One of the biggest issues going on, though, is the energy crisis in Europe that's going on right now, and that's playing into our national politics as well. Harry Hutchinson's got a blog up on Europe's energy crisis casts a gigantic shadow on the Biden administration's energy policies. You know, they're trying to run on abortion because they don't want to talk about real issues like the economy, like energy. Gas prices are starting to go up again. What's your sense of where we are?
Well, my sense is that everyone in America is indeed concerned about U.S. energy prices, and rightfully so. So you can look at what's going on in Europe right now as a forecast for what may indeed happen to the United States. And so if you look at Europe, if you look at the Czech Republic, Germany, France, and other countries, including the Netherlands, there are hundreds of thousands of people in the street. Why? Because they're protesting against high energy prices, which are caused in part by the war between Ukraine and Russia. And so now European leaders, they're calling for price caps on natural gas to curb soaring inflation and its knock-on effects throughout the economy. Germany, for instance, is offering a 200 billion euro support package for households and firms. So this should concern everyone, but of equal concern is the ineptitude of the Biden administration. So because, for instance, of the war between Russia and Ukraine, the United States has prioritized Western Europe. And so we're sending liquefied natural gas to Western Europe while New England becomes more and more dependent on liquefied natural gas because they don't allow gas to be transported via a pipeline. So this will lead to a winter in which many Americans will perhaps freeze seriously.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I was second question. So we know that Europe is, I mean, quite literally freaking out as they enter the heavier winter earlier than we do across their continent. But as we start now entering that as well, the snow's starting to pile up in the Colorado Rockies and places like that. How big of an impact will it have? I mean, you just said the Americans, the cost of energy, or will we be able to get the energy to even pay for?
I think we'll probably be able to get the energy, but in some parts of the United States, you should see natural gas prices rising by 20 to 25% at least. But it's not simply what's going on between Ukraine and Russia. It's also caused by the ineptitude of the Biden administration. So they shut down the Keystone Pipeline. They cut oil and gas leases. The National Maritime Service made a mathematical mistake with respect to calculating the impact of offshore oil production on sea animals. They've been aware of this error since April. They have not yet corrected it. So some of these errors, they're either unforced or alternatively, they are indeed deliberate.
Yep. All right, we're taking phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. The energy issue is playing into the politics. Oh, yeah. I mean,
the budgeting, if you're trying to budget out for your year and you're used to this is what we pay the bills, and wintertime comes, so we pay a little bit more, and it goes up 20-25%, well, I mean, where are you finding that in your budget? Or what are you having to cut out of your budget or make decisions about? Do we run the heat tonight or not? And I mean, that's not where you want Americans to be thinking about.
That's where it is. And that's, I think, what's hurting them in this general election.
Yes. Let's go to
midterm election.
Yeah. Let's go to Roger in Minnesota online too. Hey, Roger.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm a pro-conservative, and I'd like to hear your thoughts on our governor's race between Walz and Jensen, and also the AG race between Ellison and Schultz.
Both statistically tied. So I found one on the last polling on Ellison Schultz. I would say there, you look at the gubernatorial race, you look at the AG race, they're going to probably track somewhat similarly. It's tied. And we've seen Minnesota, especially statewide, on when it comes to who's governing the state.
Yes.
It can elect Republicans. And I think the post-George Floyd, the fact that those communities have not been rebuilt, the precincts haven't been reopened, that the stores are still closed, it's about burned out cities. That's not what Minneapolis, St. Paul, which is, of course, this was the what people know. Minnesota's a huge state, but if your main city, if your biggest city is still reeling from something that happened two plus years ago, again, I think that you have a real chance, and I would love to see Keith Ellison go.
It's interesting because you're talking about the state attorney general's race, and Harry, the fact of the matter is this is an overlooked race often. But the state attorney general sets a lot of priorities on enforcement, on criminal law, on regulatory law, and all of a sudden, the state attorney general races now in these states are very close, where before it was presumed it would be, Democratic or presumed to want to be Republican. Now they're neck and neck. And I think that says something about even those races being so close.
Absolutely. And so one of the issues that the attorney general has to concern himself with is crime. And in many of these states, such as Minnesota, if you look at Portland, Oregon, if you look at Seattle, Washington, the laws are simply not being enforced. If you look at Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. And so attorney general races at the state level and at the district attorney level in cities, those are very, very important races. And I think they will drive many voters to strongly consider voting for Republicans for a change. Why? Because the Democrats have adopted a strategy of under-enforcing the law, defunding the police, etc. Now, even Al Sharpton has suggested to the Democrats that they need to talk about crime. While the race ladies at MSNBC are saying talking about crime is racist.
Yeah.
When the communities most adversely affected are poor and often minority communities.
Yeah, I mean, Keith Ellison got caught this weekend because he's tried to make the pivot to pro-law enforcement.
Right.
And he said, I've never campaigned with anybody who supports defunding the police. And then 2 days before, he was campaigning with Ilhan Omar and Cori Bush, two of the loudest voices to defund the police. So they're trying to pull a fast one on people, trying to make this quick pivot.
In this media environment, they can't do it.
First of all, too many people have voted already, and they are voting. And again, in this media environment, first of all, you get caught. He got caught right away.
Immediately.
Because he was campaigning with, because he's struggling his race, campaigning with two of the most radical members of the U.S., House of Representatives.
All right, we're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. We wonder what's on your mind in your state. Very important that we hear from you, 800-684-3110. Let's take another call.
Yeah, let's go to Lori in Washington State on line 5.
Hi.
Hey.
Thank you for taking my call. I want to let you know that the races in Washington seem to be a lot closer than they've been in a lot of years. We've lived in Washington for a lot of years. And I'm really seeing a change in how the polling is going, which is really surprising. Also, I just want to let you know that what's going on as far as pro-life is going, we're seeing what's going on around the country. We ourselves, I'm in that group of pro-life people. We ourselves are not seeing anything but an energizing of the people who are doing pro-life. Not so much people being right out on the sidewalk, but getting churches involved, getting other groups involved, supporting the pregnancy centers. And I'm really optimistic about how things are looking in Washington, and haven't been in a long time. But I believe that because the party in power has been concentrating on the abortion issue, it's really changed the way our state looks.
Yeah, very interesting point, Laurie. Jordan, Washington State, you wouldn't think, but now a lot of people are saying yes. It's very close.
It's the Senate race there got moved from, likely Dib to lead. So
big difference.
It's a couple weeks left, but if you see the right kind of turnout, people are just sick and tired, especially when you get to the Pacific Northwest, of just
these cities
absurd
are a mess.
Liberal policies and no dealing with reality. It's like all day they want to talk about what books to put in kids' schools, but they don't want to deal with the crimes and drug problems on the street. And I think, again, you can't do these issues like that if you don't deal with reality. And that's what a lot of these voters are voting is. You vote Republican to vote with those who deal with reality.
All right. We're taking your phone calls in this last segment at 1-800-684-3110. We have a couple lines open. Even if it's busy, call back again in a minute or two. But we got one or two lines open now. 800-684-3110. Support the work of the ACLJ at ACLJ.org. But if you want to talk to us, 1-800-684-3110.
Energy. Obviously, a lot of this is a self-inflicted wound, but when you start saying, I want to kill fossil fuel production in the United States and put that industry, again, we'll use the word out to pasture, and then a war breaks out in Europe with one of the major fossil fuel producers and again, energy producers, whether it's oil or natural gas, and suddenly you have these policies in your country, and now you're cutting off the rest of the world from their policies, suddenly it starts having a huge impact. So, again, we don't have to be here. You could have the war with Russia and Ukraine going on, and we could have kept our gas prices down. We could have actually been making money off of having this war because we could have been exporting more to Europe.
So when you look at what's going on in Europe right now, in Eastern Europe particularly, in this war now dragging into a year, we're going to be talking about the winter in about 2 months. I mean, it's winter's already setting in. Colonel Wes Smith is with us. It's an election issue. The Democrats don't want to talk about it, obviously, because where are we in this conflict?
Yeah, well, one thing that Jordan alluded to, which is correct, and that is it is not Putin's price hike in America. It is Biden's price hike in America. But yeah, it's a dangerous, volatile situation. And now energy in Europe is going to be one of the weapons of this war. And of course, you have the most recent thing with Russia claiming that Ukraine is going to, blow up a dirty bomb, which absolutely makes no sense. Ukraine's not going to do that. That is a Russian false flag operation. And as you and I talked before radio today, Jay, that is the Russian way of war. They've done this since the days of World War II.
The Russian way of war. What is the Russian way of war?
They go in, and they did this in World War II. They go in and they bomb civilians and infrastructure in order to break down a country's will to fight, to demoralize them. And then they also use false flags. They will do something, blame it on the other country, and then that allows them to do one of two things, and that is to be provoked, to respond in kind, or more frequently, Russia will do a false flag, detonate a bomb, or do some attack, and then go in as the protector, as the one who goes in and rescues the people. In actuality, the only rescuing they need is from Russian aggression.
Yep. Let's go ahead and take some phone calls, 1-800-684. We're talking about all these issues as it relates to the election. We want to know what's going on in your community as well. Let's take a call.
Yeah, let's go to Vera in Texas on line 4. Hey, Vera.
Yeah, hi.
Hey.
I am an election judge here in San Antonio area precinct, and I have noted that we need more poll watchers, okay? And we just started our next early voting cycle just yesterday. And what we noted in the last election that we had in March, there was not so much voter fraud, but election fraud, I call that, from the people who get the ballots, and they have control of the machinery. that we have voting machines. Yeah. And so there needs to be watchers there at the main headquarters as well.
There was no evidence that was actually produced that said the machines did anything, though. I mean, if you look at the evidence,
if anything was done, it was all these ballots were flying around.
Well, we've already had the call on the ballots.
The machine can't tell between those.
No, the machine cannot tell the ballot difference between a ballot that you got in your apartment in Washington, or in someone's maiden name, which happened to the individual that called in from Indiana. So this is where you have to be vigilant and. Also, be aware that there is, you know, international sources here, forces, so to speak, do play games with us. I mean, they get on social media, Wes. They utilize that.
Yeah, they do. And what we need to understand is that voting this time around will probably be more secure than it's been maybe forever. Because last time, as you said, COVID and all the mailed out ballots was an issue. But not only that, 14 states after the last election have passed new election laws, which, as we've said in Georgia, where I'm from, makes it hard to cheat, easy to vote. And a lot of states have done that.
Yep. So don't do this. I'm not voting because it's not going to matter. You need to go out and vote. Let's take another call.
Yeah, back to the phones. We'll go to Gwen in Georgia on line one. Hey, Gwen.
Hi, how you doing?
Great.
Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I just wanted to say that in Georgia here, we got the heartbeat bill.
Yep.
But it's not on the ballot. But Reverend Warlock, he supports abortion, so that's going to get me to the poll.
Well, see, this is where the abortion, it's an interesting thing what they're doing with the abortion issue. They think it works one way. It doesn't. The problem that we're having, I mean, to be, and Jordan, you alluded to this, is that the ballot initiatives are not clear. Go ahead.
Yeah, I don't think, again, I think that the Democrats way overshot the idea that you could, again, when the economy's like this, when you got war in Europe and strong Chinese, weak U.S. leadership, that this single one issue is going to work for them. But I will tell you, on the Republican side, there are a lot of people that joined the Republican Party before MAGA, before Trump, solely on the issue of I am pro-life, and that's my starting point. If you're a pro-abortion candidate, you cannot get my vote. And it doesn't mean you don't care about other issues or in your country. And I think, listen, it's very clear, Warnock, how they're going to vote and how they already what they've already said. There's no – the Democrats are not trying to hide the ball on this.
No.
They are taking extreme – abortion positions in public on the record, and they're trying to defeat these ballot initiatives as well. But again, if you're going to vote between it's not favoring one or the other. Say if you're pro-life, it'd be crazy to cast a ballot for Raphael Warnock.
So let me ask you this, Wes, on the political side, then we'll take Bill's call in a moment here. The Eastern European war situation, is that, do you think it's affecting the election here other than the energy cut prices?
I don't think so.
Yeah,
although the Democrats are trying to make it an issue. You know, Kevin McCarthy just on Monday said that he was for supporting the Ukrainian people, but we cannot write them a blank check. And Democrats pounced on him. How dare he say that we can't write them a blank check? I think he's expressing what most Americans feel.
Let me ask a follow-up question to that, and that is, this is a complicated war with two complicated countries that are related. Let's be honest.
Yes.
I mean, okay. How is this playing out?
You know, it's hard to say. I think because Russia is losing on the battlefield decisively, that if Putin were to use a tactical nuclear weapon, which he still, you know, keeps rattling that saber, I think he would lose in that event also. I don't see how Russia comes out on top unless they somehow decapitate the Ukrainian government, and I pray that doesn't happen.
All right, let's take last call.
Yeah, Bill in Florida on line two. Hey, Bill.
Hey. My message is just for people who are thinking about not voting for whatever reason. Every Republican that doesn't vote is a vote for Democrats, basically, because your vote is not there to block them from victory. And, you know, they won't have to do any election fraud. All they need is enough people that don't feel like voting.
Yeah, absolutely. We saw the runoffs in Georgia in the last cycle. We saw them in both the runoffs. The Warnock special election,
they were demoralized in Georgia.
Well, people were told not to vote, that your vote's not going to count. Let me tell you something. Your vote counts. That doesn't mean you don't need poll watchers and people out there to look for fraud in certain areas of the country, in certain metro areas of the country.
But don't not vote.
But if you don't vote, I count you as you're just as bad as the people committing fraud, because they're taking your vote and they're doubling up on that. So if you really believe that there's these efforts, and again, There's been no evidence that the machines didn't count right.
Right.
Now, there were certainly way too many. I will give you that there were way too many live ballots out in the country.
Yes.
And the machines can't differentiate between.
That's not their technology just couldn't do that. No. But that was the.
But that was the COVID time. This is now. 14 states have changed the law.
Don't fall into the don't vote.
No, because I feel like you're all being lazy by that. It's a lazy. You can get on social media and comment all you want, but you won't show up to vote. Get outside your basement and go vote.
Yeah, that's like these people that showed up at the rallies for the former president and then didn't vote.
Right. It's not just a party. It's not just fun to wear a t-shirt and a flag or put a sign in your yard if you don't actually show up and vote, whether it takes you 2 hours that day, whether you go early vote right now and take 5 minutes.
All right, we encourage you to do that. Support the work of the ACLJ as well, ACLJ.org. Secular Brothers podcast today.
Yep.
SecularBrothers.com. That's where you can download and get all the information. Talk to you tomorrow.